Good morning. It's beautiful to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's a delight. It's a joy. And it's really a privilege to gather together and to seek the Lord together as a fellowship of believers. There's nothing like it. This is the best of the best. And to think that we get to join together every Sunday morning, for us, it's like a Super Bowl every Sunday morning. And so what a joy. I want to thank Pastor Terry and Kim for giving me the privilege and the opportunity to come out and share the Word of God with you guys this morning. You guys are blessed with an amazing pastor and his wife and beautiful staff. And you guys are blessed above and beyond measure to have who God has brought into your life. And so what a joy. Thank you for having me. This morning we are in Galatians chapter 6. We are going to be looking at verses 6 through 10. And the title of this morning's message, Never Give Up. Never give up. Vince Lombardi said, winners never quit and quitters never win. Paul said to the Galatian church, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And those are some beautiful verses that were written by Paul the Apostle to the churches in Galatia. The book of Galatians has been called the Declaration of Independence of Christian Liberty. Paul wrote to the church and he said, stand fast in the liberty of Christ and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's the Declaration of Independence of the Christian Liberty. And aren't you glad that you and I have life and liberty in Jesus Christ? We have life and liberty in Jesus Christ. We have freedom in Jesus Christ. I love the book of Galatians because it's a passionate letter that is committed to bringing his hearers to an understanding of what saving faith is. And this morning, as we look at these verses, the first thing that I want to look at this morning is not growing weary. Not growing weary. So if you have your Bible open, Galatians chapter 6, let's read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll jump into the first point this morning. Verse 1, brethren, Christians, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And we see in those verses that Paul the Apostle is telling us to bear and share burdens. To bear and share burdens. And he says, if anyone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so Paul reminds the believers, if someone is caught, if someone is overtaken in a sin, in a trespass, you, he says, who are spiritual, restore that person in a spirit of gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Restore that person in the fruit, in the spirit of gentleness, first considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And then he goes on to say, bear one another's burdens, help one another, be generous in carrying one another's burdens. And now we get into our text this morning. verses 6 through 10. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Isn't that true? But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Isn't that amazingly good right there? And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for making a way for us to gather together to seek the face of God, to seek the name above all names. We thank you that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the great I am, the Holy One. You are the mighty one of Israel. And you are the mighty one of us, your children, who are gathered together in this place. This morning, Father, we pray that you would give us anointed ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray, Lord, that you would remove all distractions, all the smog from the minds. I pray that, God, you would bring clarity into our hearts, that you would renew us in the spirit of our minds. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us from within, that you would encourage us, that we would build ourselves up in your most holy faith, keeping ourselves in the love of God, praying always in the Holy Spirit and encouraging one another and being generous toward one another and not growing weary while doing good. I thank you for this amazing fellowship and for the work that you have been doing since 1996. You've begun a good work and you are going to be faithful to complete the work until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that, God, you would pour out your Spirit upon this church, upon your people, upon El Paso. I pray that the lost would get found through the ministry here. I pray, Father, for a great harvest to take place on Easter Sunday. I pray that your people would invite their family, their friends, their coworkers, their neighbors, people that they cross paths with, and that people would come in and hear the gospel, and that many would get saved alive. So we pray, Father, that you would now give us ears to hear, that you would open our hearts to receive your word with gladness, with readiness, with zeal, and that, God, we would then take it out of here and apply it as we live it out in front of our family, friends, and coworkers. Lord, we love you with all of our heart, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Let us not grow weary. We grow weary at times. And to grow weary means to exhaust by fatigue, to be wiped out, to be utterly spiritless or lose courage. Growing weary in doing good is an everlasting present danger or an ever-present danger in the Christian life. Therefore, we need to be on guard to growing weary while doing good. Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good. It's an ever-present danger in the Christian life. Therefore, we need to be on guard so that we don't grow weary while doing good. What are some of the things that we need to guard against when it comes to growing weary? Because we could grow weary, and we know that we get tired. Of course, we have these fleshly bodies. We get tired. We grow weary. We know that. That's just how life is. We grow weary while doing good, but we shouldn't grow weary while serving the Lord. We shouldn't grow weary in our personal relationship with God. We should guard against becoming weary and then burning out. There are some things that we need to guard against. Number one, I would say overcommitment. We need to guard against overcommitment. Overcommitment is defined as this: to commit excessively, to obligate oneself beyond the ability of fulfillment. In Exodus chapter 18, we have an example of Moses being overcommitted. And here's what it says in the NLT. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against one another. They waited before him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" And here was Moses' reply: "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's laws and give them his instructions." And here's what Jethro said to Moses: "This is not good." Moses' father-in-law exclaimed, "You are going to wear yourself out and the people. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." And he said, "Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you." You have to love that wisdom, that counsel. "Moses, listen up. Let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you." Moses was overcommitted, and he was on his way to burning himself out. And Paul says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." Moses was doing good. I mean, he was listening to the people from morning till night. He was hearing about their problems, their struggles, their battles, their issues, their indifferences, everything that they had going on within the camps in the wilderness. And Jethro saw that and he said, "You are going to burn yourself out. You are growing weary while doing good. Let me give you some advice. This burden, it's too heavy for you to handle all by yourself. You're too overcommitted." And he goes on and he says, "You should continue to be the people's representative before God." And then he says, "Bringing their disputes to him." And then he tells Moses these beautiful words: "Teach him God's decrees, and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives." Moses, give the people God's word. That's what the people need more than anything else. Moses, they really don't need your opinions. What they need are God's words. Teach them God's word. Give them his instructions and show them how to conduct their lives. And then he goes on and he says, "But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,150 and 10. He gave that counsel to Moses because he saw Moses. Moses was growing weary. He was doing good. His heart was in the right place. He wanted to see God's people doing God's word. He wanted to see them living out God's instructions. But he was burning himself out. He was growing weary while doing good. And Jethro said, "Here's what you need to do so that you don't wear yourself out. The job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Raise up some men, capable men, men of truth, men who fear the Lord. Raise them up to help you do the work. You're too overcommitted." James Dobson said these words about overcommitment: "What is the biggest obstacle facing the family right now? It is overcommitment, time pressure. There is nothing that will destroy family life more insidiously than hectic schedules and busy lives, where spouses are too exhausted to communicate, too worn out to have sex, too fatigued to talk to the kids. That frantic lifestyle is just as destructive as one involving outbroken sin. If Satan can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And that's just about the same thing. I know there are seasons in our lives where we need to be involved in several different things. But it should only be for a season, because over the long haul, it's not sustainable. Over the long haul, it's not sustainable. And that's why God has called us to focus and to have that laser-like focus. We need to be on guard against overcommitment. Paul said, let us not grow weary while doing good. We grow tired in the ministry, but we should never grow tired of the ministry. We grow tired at times in family life, but we should never grow tired of family life. We grow tired, we grow weary, but we need to be on guard to growing weary to the point to where we check out, burn out, tap out, we throw in the towel and we say, I'm done. We have to be on guard to those things. Another thing that can cause us to grow weary is discouragement. Discouragement has a way of coming in and bringing in that weariness where we lose heart. Elijah lost heart after witnessing fire fall from heaven and after having a victory over the prophets of Baal. And here is what it says in 1 Kings 19, 3 and 4. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. And here's the message by this crazy woman, Jezebel. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. How do you think the man of God replied? How do you think he responded? I mean, this guy just called fire down from heaven. The Baals just got toasted. And here's how we responded. Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed. And here was his prayer, that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my fathers. Elijah gave up. Elijah quit. And he said, it's enough. Lord, take my life. I don't want to go on anymore. I'm done. He was weary. He was worn out. And he was discouraged. And discouragement has a way of bringing in that weariness. So we have to be on guard when it comes to discouragement. How do we overcome discouragement? By coming into the presence of God, spending time with the Lord, and getting re-encouraged. We need that courage. Like God told Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Be very courageous. And God had to remind Joshua, he said, I am with you. For the Lord thy God is with you, Joshua, wherever you go. I am with you. Be strong, be courageous. Don't allow that discouragement to settle into your heart. You can overcome it. God had to tell Joshua, and he had to tell Elijah, get up, basically. Come on, move on. It's time to press on. Don't allow that crazy woman to bring you to this point. Joshua, get up. I still have a call for your life. But discouragement can come in and bring that weariness. Of course, another thing that can cause us to grow weary are spiritual battles. Spiritual battles can wear us out. We are, as believers, if you are a believer, you are in a spiritual battle. If you are not a believer, come to faith in Jesus Christ and join the greatest battle ever. God will give you the armor that you need. He will armor you up. He will get you battle ready for the battle that you are going to face. And it's an amazing battle. We are soldiers. We are engaged in a warfare. The battle is real. We are on the front lines because you and I who are believers, we have a target on our back because there we are in a battle. There's a battle for souls. There's a battle going on in the heavenly places. It's good against evil, righteousness against unrighteousness. There's this battle going on, and you and I are in a spiritual battle. The moment we came to faith in Christ, we joined the battle. We signed up as soldiers who are engaged in warfare. But we are not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life, because if we do, as soldiers, we will become weary while doing good. And so the spiritual battles, they have a way of wearing us out if we aren't properly armoring up, if we aren't putting on Jesus, if we aren't spending time in his presence. And God, he opens great and effective door for us to do ministry. And as a result, there are many adversaries. Paul said, a great and effective door has been opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Paul knew, God opened this door for me. It's a great and effective door for me to do ministry, but there are many adversaries who hate us, who don't want to see us succeed. Of course, the enemy, the devil, he doesn't want us succeeding in our walk with Jesus. He doesn't want us to enjoy the liberty and the life that we have that Paul was talking about to the Galatians. He wants us to become entangled again in to go back into that bondage. So we have to be on guard for spiritual battles because those can wear us out. Another thing that can wear us out or cause us to grow weary are people. You and I are in the people business, right? As ministers, as believers, every single one of you who are believers, you are a minister. God has called you to be a minister. What are you ministering? You're ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ministering his love. You're ministering his goodness. You're ministering his faithfulness, his kindness. You're ministering the fruit of the Spirit. You are ministering his hope, hope to a hopeless world. You are ministering his help to people who are helpless. You are ministers for Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are all called to be ministers, and ministers, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we minister to people. Man, and what a privilege, what a joy, what an honor it is that you and I get to love on people. The ones that are easy to love and the ones that are not. The lovable and the unlovable. We get to minister to people. That is amazing that God has called us into the people business. You might think, I'm tired of the people business. I'm out. Don't quit. Remember the title of my message. Never give up. Don't quit. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep ministering to people. But people, they can wear us out. And we can become weary while doing good. For example, if you're always around someone who is toxic, cynical, or someone who brings you down rather than building you up, you can become weary. See, as God's people, here's what you and I are called to do. We are called to add value to one another. Not devalue, but add value. God has called you to add value to your husband. God has called you to add value to your wife. God has called you, if you have children, to add value to your children. to add value to your grandchildren. How many of you have grandchildren, by the way? Man, our grandchildren, they need to know about Jesus. And the greatest way to add value to them is by telling them about Jesus and then showing the way, because we know the way and we're going the way. And so we're called to add value to one another. We are called to build one another up, not bring one another down. God has never called us to shoot bullets at one another, but we're called to hand one another a brick, if you will, or to use those bricks to build each other up. And we build each other up. And you and I, as I mentioned a minute ago, we're in a spiritual battle. We are in a warfare. And so we are fighting together. Like Nehemiah, when they were in that battle while building the wall, they had real enemies, adversaries, Sanballat and Tobiah and all these others. They were in a battle and they ended up having to put a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other as they built the wall for protection, for security. They were in a battle, but they battled together. They didn't battle against one another. And so we have to be on guard, because if we are around those who are always toxic, cynical, or bringing us down, we need to pray for that person. We need to love that person. If that person's not willing to change, and we just need to give them over to God. Now, doing what's right is not easy in a fallen world. Paul said, let us not grow weary while doing good. Doing what's right is not easy in a fallen world, especially when it seems like no one notices. You might even think, is it worth doing good? Is it worth serving the Lord? The answer is what? Yes, you guys are on target. If the answer is yes, here's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Now is the time for us to do our work for the Lord with all of our might. We are to do our work for the Lord with all of our might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Here's what Jesus said in John 9, 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus knew the night was coming. And he said, until the night comes, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And we need to have that same kind of attitude. You and I must work the works of him who sent me. And Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And then Hebrews 13:16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Don't stop adding value to people. And keep this perspective in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. Keep this perspective. What's the perspective? The harvest is on its way. The fruits of your labor are on their way. Keep planting. Keep your hand on the plow. You are fit for the kingdom of God. Keep your hand on the plow. Whether you know only a few Bible verses or you know the whole Bible, keep your hand on the plow. If you're a new believer or if you're a seasoned believer who's been walking with the Lord, keep your hand on the plow. Keep planting. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Keep plowing Plowing's not easy, right? Keep watering, because in due season, the harvest will come. So don't quit right before the harvest, because you'll miss out on enjoying the fruit. For in due season, you or we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We don't want to lose heart in what we're doing. We have to be on guard. We have to keep our minds strong in the Lord, so that the things that are going on in the world, the things that are going on within, or the things that are going on around us, we have to be on guard for those things, because those things can cause us to lose heart, to become discouraged with people and with the stuff that's going on. We don't want to lose heart. We want to take heart. Jesus said men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men always ought to pray. Women always ought to pray and not lose heart. My friends, family of God, don't lose heart. Never quit. Don't give up. And then Paul closes in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, he says. Opportunity means a time favorable for the purpose. Noah Webster said this: neglect no opportunity of doing good. In these crazy days, in these dark days, in these devious days in which we are living in these last days, opportunities are abundant, because people are hungry for Jesus. People are hungry for love. People are hungry for peace. People are hungry for the hope of Jesus Christ. We are living in some dark days, devious days, destructive days. And yet people are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the love of God. My wife and I, and a couple other team members, we do a Bible study across from our church every week at a high school. It's about 1,900 students there. It's a public high school, 90% Hispanic, lower income, if you will. We take a Bible study in there every single week on Wednesdays, and we also take pizza. We take 10 to 12 pizzas every single week. We have somewhere up to 45 to 53 students on a Wednesday. And let me just say this. The majority of them are non-believers. The majority of them are unchurched. They are like the way I was. I was unchurched. I wasn't raised in a church. I was raised in a broken in an alcoholic home. That's how I was raised. I was raised around drugs and my dad, you know, smoking weed and doing hash and mushrooms and acid. And I was raised in the bars. I remember crawling out when there were fights in the bars, being raised in Denver. And a lot of the kids are like that. But let me just say this. They are hungry for Jesus Christ. And we are taking the gospel in, we're feeding them pizza, but most of all, we're feeding them the word of God. God's raising them up, they're coming to faith in Christ, and God is getting ready to open a door for us to do an outreach at the high school, public high school, mind you, here in the future. So in these crazy days, opportunities are abundant. Because people are hungry for the love of Jesus Christ, for the hope of Jesus Christ. When it comes to opportunities, think of them as something God brought your way. That's how we should look at opportunities. We should think of them as something God brought your way. Therefore, as we have opportunity, the opportunities are abundant. We need to pray and say, God, open my eyes, that I might see those opportunities. Lord, give me a sensitive heart. Help me to be sensitive to those around me, to my neighbors. Because the opportunities are abundant. And people are, they're wondering what is going on. Why are things crumbling? We come in and we give them the answer. And he goes on, he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Notice that word, especially. Especially. So we are to do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. The word especially means most of all or above all. In other words, take advantage of every opportunity that God brings your way to serve others, but especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. The household of faith needs you. They need your gifts. They need your love. They need your time. They need your treasures. They need your talents. That's how we get the work done, when the household of faith realizes, I am to do good to all, but especially to the household of faith, especially to my brothers and sisters who are in the faith. I am to do good. I'm to go above and beyond measure when it comes to serving them. I should give of my time, my talents, my treasures. I should give of my love, of my skills. I should be all in, 110 or 100% all in, or 110%, as they say. The household of faith is looking not for a few good people, but for a lot of good people who want to serve the household of faith in a special way. They need you. And Paul says, let us do good to all as we have opportunity, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So in closing, I want to give you some takeaways that will help you from becoming weary, and some takeaways that will keep you fresh. How many of you want to stay fresh spiritually? We all do. We all want to stay fresh spiritually. Young, old, wherever we're at, we want to stay fresh spiritually. So here are some takeaways. Number one, this will help you from becoming weary. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You might be saying, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes upon him. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us, consider him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Otherwise, you will become weary and discouraged in your souls. If we take our eyes off of Jesus, we are going to become weary and discouraged in our souls. So the first thing we need to do as believers is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Even if you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on him. Look to him. Paul said, here's another takeaway, stay the course. Here's what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58, he says, but thanks be to God who has given us the victory. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Your labor that you do for the Lord, it is not in vain. So stay the course. Keep marching on. Stay the course. Be steadfast. Another takeaway is know your why and your who. Know your why and your who. Here's a question. Why are you serving? And who are you serving? Know your why and your who. Why are you serving? Here's why. Because God called you into the ministry, into his ministry. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship. You guys know that verse? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are his workmanship. workmanship. In the Greek is poema. We are his poema, his masterpiece, if you will, his poem, his work of art. We are his workmanship. We belong to him. We are his. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created beforehand that we should walk in them. Of course, we know salvation comes first. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, not of works, not of religion. But after that saving grace, then we get to it. We are his workmanship. God has created us for good works, which he has prepared beforehand. And notice the final word in verse 10, that we should walk in them. Forward motion, onward motion, walking in the works of the Lord. So know your why and your who. Who are you serving? 1 Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. How can you and I stay fresh in this journey that we are on? Take time to rest. Jesus scheduled times of rest, and so should we. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Don't put ministry before your marriage or your family. Strike a balance. Don't take on more than what you can handle. You need to stay fresh spiritually. How can you stay fresh spiritually? By feeding yourself with fresh manna from God's word on the daily. And stay in prayer. As Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Stay in fellowship with other believers and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's another way to stay fresh. Somebody once said, if we don't evangelize, we fossilize. We need to evangelize. We need to share the gospel of Jesus. You have the goods. You have the truth. You are in a church that teaches the word of God through and through. Wow, what a blessing. What a favor that God has bestowed upon you to be in a church that is actually teaching from the word and through the word. Therefore, you have the goods. Go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that will keep you fresh. Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul also said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and to the Greek, to everyone who believes. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Preaching the gospel keeps us fresh. It keeps us alert. We're always on the lookout for those who need to come to faith in Jesus, because we live in a world where people all around us are hopeless and helpless, and they need the hope of Jesus. They need to know that Jesus could come alongside of them and give them help and fill their hearts with his love, can save them. And you and I are his conduits. You and I are his vessels. You and I are his mouthpiece, who have been placed here on this earth for such a time as this. Father, we thank you, Lord God, this morning for your word. We thank you that you are alive and well and you are living. Father, as we read those verses, as Paul wrote to the church, the churches, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Lord, I pray that you would bless your church, this church, in a special way with the double portion of your anointing. And I pray, Father, for those who are doing the work, that they wouldn't grow weary of the ministry. We grow tired in it, but we should never grow tired of it. And so, God, I pray that you would refresh, Lord God, every servant here in this church in a special way with a special anointing. You pour out your spirit upon them, that you bless them as they endeavor to do the work of the ministry. I pray that you bless Pastor Terry and Kim in a special way. You bless their family. God, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that they can ask, think, or even imagine. As Jeremiah says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know of. I pray that that would take place, Lord God, in and through this church, in this community, and in this city, and around this whole state and beyond the borders. Enlarge their borders, expand their territory. Father, I pray for anyone in here who has not come to faith in Christ. This morning, you came in not knowing Jesus Christ. You haven't given your life to Christ. On the inside, you're empty. Like Solomon said, it's vanity of vanity. It's empty. You haven't come to faith in Christ. You have that miserable inlook. Well, I'm here to tell you that Christ can change your inlook and your uplook and your outlook. If you give your faith, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you turn from your sins, if you repent from them and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says that you will be saved. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. We're not going to call you up, but we want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you want to be born again, saved from the power and the penalty of sin, from the destruction of hell, and if you want to receive heaven, eternal life, right where you're at, do me a favor. As our heads are bowed, lift up your hand, and I'll lead you in a word of prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone at all? Lift up your hand if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'll lead you in a word of prayer. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Slip up your hand. I see your hand as well, sir. Anybody else this morning? Lift up your hand. Lift it up high. Amen. For those of you who lifted up your hands, thank you. God bless you as well for lifting up your hand. Anybody else? Just simply say this prayer. You could say it out loud. You could say it quietly, but say it to the Lord. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's Jesus. But say this. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, please forgive me for all of my sins. I believe, Lord, that you died and rose again. Lord, as I give you my life, please fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Congratulations. After service, come up. For those of you who received Christ, the elders would love to pray for you, encourage you in your newfound faith in Christ. Let's all stand and worship. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity. On behalf of my wife and I, we love you guys. God bless.